Scripture reading this morning is a rather short scripture reading. It's from the book of Proverbs, those collections of wise sayings from Solomon, and probably, arguably, one of the more popular of Solomon's Proverbs from chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I invite you to follow along. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I begin, I need a volunteer to come forward. Thank you. Come forward. Thank you, Samantha. Sam, I'm going to ask you to step onto that top there, landing. And look, let the people get a look at you, because it's the last time they may see you looking this good. And as you turn around, face the choir, and you step to the edge. Now, don't be looking at me. We're going to do what's called the trust fall. Sam is going to stretch out her arms, and she's going to, in trust, lean back. And believe that I'm going to catch her. So, Sam, do you trust that I will catch you? Do you trust that I will not let you fall and hit the ground and hurt yourself? Do you trust that?
No.
See, this is where faith hits the road, right? This is a perfect sermon. All right, I'm gonna count on three, all right? You look at the choir. They look more nervous than you do. All right, stretch out your arms, and you're just gonna lean back, and I'm gonna count up three. Don't do it before. I'll be facing you, not the congregation. All right, here we go. I'm gonna count up three. One, two, three. Hey! You're done. That takes some bravery, and Sam, thank you for coming forward. That is sort of a living illustration that I hope will set us into the message this morning, because I'm continuing my sermon series, and we're leaving the Psalms. We looked at Psalm 23, we looked at Psalm 121, and we are moving forward. And today, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at one of those wise old sayings of Solomon from the book of Proverbs. And it has to do with the subject of trust. And I read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 for you earlier in the service. But this morning, I'd like for you to see this scripture powerfully portrayed through one of the characters of the Old Testament. So let's take a closer look at what I might call one of the lesser known stories of the Bible. It's from 2 Chronicles. I'll be reading in two places, chapter 20, verses 5 through 12, and then skipping on down and reading verses 18 through 21. We're talking about Jehoshaphat this morning. And it says, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and in it have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and save. See now, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And skipping on down to verse 18, says, then Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets. When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor. As they went before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we open up your word to this story, we pray that it would come to us and fill us with the light and the life and the love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, if we were to give Jehoshaphat a grade as a king, we might give him a B, maybe even a B plus. But as the saying goes, he got way too big for his britches. He disobeyed God by entering into a military alliance with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, the Bonnie and Clyde of the Bible. Well, as the story picks up this morning, Jehoshaphat's neck is on the chopping block. Invading armies are bearing down on his kingdom near the southern tip of the Dead Sea. They are only hours away. There's panic and terror in the streets of Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat's world is coming apart at the seams. And so with his back against this wall, this king has no choice but to turn to God and trust in God's faithfulness to him. Now, believe it or not, that is not a problem for Jehoshaphat. He does not lack for chutzpah as he prays a prayer that we might consider rather bold and even presumptuous. Listen to what he says in verse 6. O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? In other words, hey God, aren't you the one who's in charge up there? He also says in verse 7, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? Didn't you give us this land and deed it forever to the descendants of Abraham? Jehoshaphat says to God, remember your buddy Abraham? Well, you're talking to his grandkids down here. And then I love this. For your name is in the house. Lord, you don't want the Moabites and the Ammonites coming in and spray painting graffiti all over the place and scratching out your name and putting some other God's name on it, do you? We think, wow, what a bold prayer, right? Maybe a little too bold? Well, consider what it says in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace. God loves nothing more than when his children trust so totally in his faithfulness that we yank on the hem of his garment. I'll give you an example. In Luke's gospel, Jesus speaks highly of a very persistent widow. This widow says to a certain judge, I'm sorry, your honor, but I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to come to your house every morning at 4 a.m. I'm going to bang on your door. I'm going to badger you until you get moving on my case. And Jesus said, that kind of prayer is music to the ears of heaven. And so you see, every time we let fly with one of those kinds of prayers, what we are saying is, God is real. God is here. God is listening. And God is able to move in power in our lives. Now, have you listened to what the sound of your prayers are often like? Sometimes I think we are just the opposite of bold. Instead, we get very timid. Oh God, I know you've got a busy schedule trying to manage all the affairs of the world, but if you've got a little time in your calendar this week, let the medical test that I'm going to be undergoing, let that be okay, if it be your will. You know, that is a faulty, fair-weather faith. But in Jehoshaphat, we have a king who bloodies his knuckles knocking on heaven's door. Still, we have to wonder, who does Jehoshaphat think he is knocking on God's door? Doesn't it seem like he's just trying to save his own skin? Don't forget, it was his disobedience against God that landed him in all this mess in the first place. It was his leaning on his own understanding which got him into big trouble. You know, sometimes our lives are a lot like an ESPN not so top 10 of highlight bloopers. If we're honest, there's a ton of footage from our daily lives that, thank God, don't make it on SportsCenter. But you know what? It can still rent space in our heads. It can still cause us to toss and turn at night and lose sleep as we hope that none of those secrets will ever see the light of day. And maybe because of something we did, or maybe because of something we said, we'll say to ourselves, what place do I really have in the family of God? Or we look around this room and we think, no, I'm not sure I even really belong here. Or we look at the communion table and say, I don't think I deserve that. Well, guess what? Neither did Jehoshaphat. And yet Jehoshaphat, who was unfaithful, knew that God would be faithful to him. Now, there's also a corollary, because if we're going to be bold towards God, then that means we have to be helpless towards ourselves. You see, with enemy tribes and bearing down on you like they were with Jehoshaphat, he knew that without God, he was toast. And so he prays in verse 12, God, we have no power to face this army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ever talk to someone who's in a crisis? They'll say something like, oh, I'm all alone in this crisis. It's just me and God. That's like saying, oh, here I am playing 2-on-2 basketball. It's just me and LeBron James. Oh, what are we going to do? Remember what it says in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. It's like that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Apostle Paul said it this way, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's when we trust him, turn our eyes toward him, and are weak, that is when God rises to his strength. You ever have one of those times when nothing seems to go right? Probably have all had them. Seems like Murphy is in charge of our life, right? If it were a fish, you'd throw it back. If it were a tape, you'd want to erase it completely. Well, I remember back when I was in North Carolina playing on the church softball team. And in one particular game, I was up at bat, and I hit a ball between shortstop and third base, but not hard enough for it to go in the outfield, which means that I had to run as fast as I could to first base to try to beat the throw. Well, as I'm running down the first baseline, I feel this shot in the back of my leg, because in that moment, I pulled and popped my hamstring. So that threw off my stride, so now I'm not running, but I'm hopping and limping, trying to get to that first base bag. Well, when I got there, because my stride was so off, I hit the bag at the wrong angle, I rolled my ankle, And then I went tumbling to the ground, as my father says, like a sack full of doorknobs. And hit my head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Of course, you want to know, was I safe or out, right? Adding insult to injury, apparently the third baseman had bobbled the ball about a half a dozen times, and when he finally got it and threw it, he airmailed it right over the first baseman's head. I could have crawled the first base and been safe. Now, I was injured and out of the game and several games after that. Have you ever had things not go your way? Maybe more seriously than just a softball game. Maybe it was with your health or your finances or an important relationship. What I've learned is that being overwhelmed can also be the time when God is most real. Very often, it's a crisis that we think are just going to absolutely rip our faith apart that become the very thing that strengthens our faith. Now, some of you here, some of you watching, may feel like you've got the Moabites bearing down on you. Maybe it's your critics, or your creditors, maybe a boss, maybe a bully, but they are bearing down on you. Friends, commit all of it to the Lord. And I believe that you will experience a blessing that never would have happened otherwise. As it says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you heed these words, you can be a showcase of God's awesome power. You know, Jehoshaphat was great when it came to the big things in life, but was the little things, that's the stuff that got him into trouble. When those armies were invading him, he dropped to his knees and he prayed to God. He did the right thing. What got him into trouble was disobeying God in the little things of life. He allowed his son to marry the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He entered into a military alliance and also a shipping contract with King Ahab's son. You know, our mistakes usually come when we relegate God to the sidelines of our lives. It's when we lean on our own understanding. Do not rely on the insight of God and do not acknowledge him. That's when the problems really happen. Our mistake is when God is not first or second or third or even 99th, but the last resort. And finally, after everything in our life has gone haywire, we finally pray, oh God, you've got to get me out of this mess. I really, 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 really need you right now. And God is so loving, and God is so faithful, and God will do that for you. But you know what? God does not want to just be involved in those capital D big decisions of your life. God wants to be involved in all of the minutiae, all the intricate details that you have going on. So, how did God answer the prayer of Jehoshaphat? Well, it says in verse 15, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then God says, you don't even have to fight this battle. Just show up and leave the rest to me. And what's so wonderful about the story is that as soon as God said it, the people started to believe it. In fact, they began celebrating a victory that hadn't even happened yet. The first sword had not yet been drawn, and there they were praising God and partying all night long. And later on, it says they arranged a battle formation so that the musicians actually led the army into battle. That's a rather creative way to get rid of a few problem choir members. But you know what? It was really an act of faith. that they would take the temple singers and put them at the head of the battle formation and lead the way in singing to God, "Great is the faithfulness of God, and his steadfast love endures forever." Well, meanwhile, out in the desert, things get ugly as the Ammonites, the Moabites, the New Jerseyites, the Pennsylvaniites, and all those otherites turn on each other. There's this bloody struggle. And by the time the Israelites arrive at the place that God told them to go, all they see are the dead bodies of their enemies from one end of the valley to the other. All they have to do is carry off the plunder of animals and cattle and weapons and food. And so instead of being wiped out like they thought was going to happen to them, they walk home with more stuff than they can even carry. And they rename that valley Baraka, which in Hebrew means blessing. And jumping Jehoshaphat leaps for joy all the way home as the people play their harps and trumpets. So, friends, are any of you here or watching in a valley this morning? Just know that whatever mess, whatever the guilt, whatever the shame, whatever the embarrassment, whatever unfaithfulness in your life, God says, "I will be faithful to you." And if you acknowledge him, he will make your paths straight. In one scene in the movie Jurassic Park, a little girl and her brother find themselves all alone in an SUV after the only adult abandoned them in their time of need, right at the time that a hungry T-Rex was freed from its cage and stalking them as food. This little girl is able to escape just before the dinosaur pushes their SUV over a ledge, but her brother is trapped inside and now is hanging on for dear life in a canopy of a tree. We're gonna dim the lights and show you this short clip.
Lex, listen, Lex, I'm right here. I'm gonna look after you, but I have to go help you, brother. So I want you to stay right here and wait for me. But that's not what I'm gonna do.
That little girl felt abandoned, betrayed, left behind, and she was overwhelmed. But in the smoothest, calmest, most reassuring way, Dr. Grant says those seven important words, "But that's not what I'm gonna do." My friends, God says to us, "Trust in me. Don't try to do it on your own. Listen to me. I will make it right for you." You may feel alone, abandoned, betrayed, left out, left behind, and on your own. But God says, "That's not what I'm gonna do." Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, we live in a world where everything is changing so rapidly. No one uses a VCR anymore. Our sports heroes retire. People's jobs are suddenly outsourced to countries a half a continent away. We live in a world where hurricanes rip through communities and do damage to people's lives so that it feels like they'll never, ever be the same again. And so, God, it is really important that we trust in you. In such a world, how precious is the gift of faithfulness. How good it is that we can trust in you because you are a faithful, faithful God. And God, let each of us live lives of sweet surrender. Steer our lives, whether it's in our neighborhoods, or at our work, or within our families, or even here in your church. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.